Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God. So you've heard our Books of the Year podcast. You have taken in the considered opinion of the Center for Public Theology and your humble host, Owen Strand, on this matter, but you say to yourself, what do I read once I have devoured, per the recommendation, of course, of the Center for Public Theology, the three top titles read in 2016 by CPT staff? Well, just for you, dear listener, we offer some more good books read in this previous year. As I say, there can be some variation on the dates here, although I do believe these books are all written in 2016, and they are all, here's the common denominator especially, they are all worthy of purchase and of perusal on the part of our listening base. So let me jump into the honorable mention books of 2016 from our own desk. Military history is not commonly read in the American educational system today, despite the fact that many, many boys love history and love military history. In truth, it's my own personal belief that military history should definitely be a part of any educational curriculum, not simply for boys, but for all young minds. And I was reminded of the value of military history when I read Douglas MacArthur by Arthur Herman. Douglas MacArthur is a lengthy book about the famed general, who led the Pacific Theater, the efforts of America and the Allies in World War II, in particular, in the East. Of course, many Americans are used to thinking about World War II as almost an exclusively European theater of battle. We're, of course, familiar with Churchill versus Hitler and D-Day and all the other exploits that are well known to folks who enjoy this era. But there's a whole nother theater of the war. It's the Pacific Theater, and Douglas MacArthur is the key commander of the Allied forces in the Pacific Theater. MacArthur was a dazzling general. He had a very clever mind. He was able to see where he needed to lock in and send huge amounts of troops and where he could actually save many lives by not picking his battle in that particular area. So MacArthur was a controversial figure in his day. He and Harry Truman definitely did not take a liking to one another, and that had disastrous consequences for General MacArthur, five-star general. But nonetheless, there are many leadership lessons that readers can draw from this book by Arthur Herman, simply titled Douglas MacArthur. And so I commend it to all who enjoy military history, reading about great leaders from history, and who simply want to encounter more about Douglas MacArthur, a figure who deserves to be more widely known in our time. MacArthur, of course, gives a famous speech at West Point at the end of his life that that alone is worth the attention of every listener to this humble little podcast. Another book that I recommend is about Winston Churchill, and so another figure from this era, and it's entitled No More Champagne. No More Champagne is by David Lough, L-O-U-G-H. This is a book about Winston Churchill that does cover some aspects of Churchill's eccentricities and leadership, but mostly focuses on just one area of his life, his finances. Those who know anything about Winston Churchill will know that when it came to his finances, he was not necessarily the titanic leader that he was in other areas of his life. In fact, he had a kind of slapdash style when it came to his familial finances. Now, of course, this was not all his fault, despite the fact that his father, Randolph Churchill, was a very famous politician in England, and the fact that his mother was in some senses an heiress. Winston Churchill did not come into much money, and so he found himself from a very early age scraping things together. And this pattern continues throughout his life. Though Churchill does earn a great deal of money, in part by a continual stream of articles and books, he spends it just about as fast as he gets it. And this puts him and his family, his dear family, into no small amount of chaos. His long-suffering wife, Clementine, frequently writes him notes, imploring him to change one of his habits, tweak them in order to keep more money in the kitty, so to speak. But Churchill has a very hard time doing so. He is helped out in a number of points in his life by dear friends, eminent men in the UK, and that helps keep him solvent. Suffice it to say that No More Champagne is a somewhat technical read, but if you want to know what the day-to-day life of Churchill was like, this volume, and certainly the volumes by William Manchester, the trilogy, The Last Lion trilogy, will give you a nice window into the fascinating and certainly never dull life of one of our greatest men in human history and probably the greatest man of the 20th century. Now for a theological book to recommend. Progressive Covenantalism is the title, and the book is edited by Steve Wellum and Brent Parker, both of them affiliated with the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Progressive Covenantalism outlines an entire system of thought, a way of approaching the Old and New Testament that I think lends great perspective on how there is both continuity between the Testaments and discontinuity between the Testaments. Progressive Covenantalism features numerous authors, including eminent New Testament scholar Tom Schreiner and others, and it allows us to put together what you could call a biblical theology of the Scriptures. In other words, to understand how the Old and New Covenants revealed in Scripture are both connected, indissolubly connected, both, I think, unfurling a story and a narrative driven by God's grace towards sinners, but also showing us that the New Covenant, as numerous scriptures say, is a better covenant, according to the book of Hebrews, rendering the old one obsolete. Now, these are tricky matters, to be sure, that I and many others enjoy handling in seminary classrooms. I love teaching on the relationship between the covenants in my MDiv and even PhD classes here at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is one of the subjects I most enjoy teaching about. Nonetheless, this is a book that will help readers, perhaps readers who have never thought too deeply about these matters, or at the very least have never had great answers to the relationship between the Old and New Covenant, to put these things together and I think end up reading their Bible better and more faithfully, and thus, by extension, leading a more faithful doxological life unto God. Progressive Covenantalism is a book that contains numerous pretty short chapters that will enable readers to slowly, and I would commend you to read it slowly so that you can get it, so it can stick with you, because these are technical matters to consider, and thus to, as I say, compile a richer, fuller understanding of the relationship between the Old and New Covenant, seeing that Old and New Covenant are not the same covenant, but they also are not disconnected covenants. That in and of itself is an insight worth treasuring. And this is a book, as I tell my seminary students here at Midwestern, that will lend great confidence, I think, in particular, to Baptists, understanding that we have great reason for prioritizing the newness of the new covenant in our ethics, in our theology, in our worship. The final book that I'll mention profiles the famous runner Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell is forever immortalized in the film Chariots of Fire. But until now, many readers will not have encountered the true glory of his life. In other words, they'll know about his Olympic exploits, winning a gold medal and many races besides in the Olympics, but they will not know about his long-suffering missionary work in China. And it needs to be said that this is, in truth, the part of Liddell's life that I think is the most inspiring. So you should pick up the book. It's entitled For the Glory
and it's written by UK sports writer Duncan Hamilton. To my knowledge, Hamilton is not trying to write this as a kind of Christian takeaway book, but nonetheless, you cannot help as a believer but be inspired by the heroic example of Eric Liddell, the strong character of this man, the way that he bore up under suffering in what I see as a Christ-like way, and thus the legacy that he leaves all of us to go in the name of Jesus Christ, wherever he calls us to, whether far away or very local, and to spend everything we have, to ask God to be poured out as a drink offering to the glory of his name, to do all we can to win souls to Christ and give God glory in our daily lives, and thus to risk everything we have in the name of Jesus. You see this great man, this famous athlete, doing just that in his life, and that is a call that if we can implement in our lives, not simply here at the end of 2016, but in 2017 and any other years the Lord would give us, I think the Lord would be well pleased by and we would be well served by. So this concludes the end of the year best books given you by the Center for Public Theology. We encourage you to check these books out and to keep reading and even to be stirred as you read them to the glory of God.
Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast at the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.